Well, it's good to see you here tonight. As we start the next step in our systematic theology series that we've been going through in our Sunday evenings, last week we finished up anthropology, the doctrine and the study of man. And today we're going to move into something we are all very, very familiar with, which is hamartiology, which is the doctrine or the study of sin. I've entitled this A Day in the Life of Brett. All right, so maybe you can relate to that just a little bit. As sin is something that is very enticing and very deceptive, and we would do well to recognize and understand the patterns and the deceitfulness that comes with sin and our enemy, Satan. So, with that being said, let's open with a brief word of prayer, because we are going to need the assistance of the Holy Spirit to help us understand our hearts and our nature, which is desperately evil above all things. But thankfully, as believers, we are no longer slaves to sin, and that we have an opportunity to choose righteousness because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and very simply and with humility ask that your Holy Spirit would reveal the nature and the deceptiveness and the consequences of sin in our lives. And Father, as believers, may we choose you over our appetites. We pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Okay, here we go. How many are ready to feel worthless for the next 7 weeks? Anyone at all? Ready to row? I'm teasing you. Actually, there's some wonderful positive things that come from studies like this. So today we're going to embark on a study that really had nothing to do with God's original intent, God's original creation. The Bible teaches very clearly, teaches us right now, that you and I are not in our normal state. That's the good news. We are not in our normal state. When God created mankind, he saw that it was very good, that it was perfect. It was without sin, without a sin nature. It was not God's intent for you or his creation to be in the state it is in right now. But due to Adam's disobedience, we know this is federal headship, passed down through seminal headship, if you remember some of our studies in the past, Adam's disobedience to God brought about a ruinous, and I would say a rigorous, change, and its result extends to each and every one of us, which brings us to our current state today. Therefore, it is urgent that we understand the dynamics of sin. To understand something makes us more equipped, if you will, the dynamics of sin and how we can experience deliverance and victory over its tenacious power. So with that being said, as a brief introduction, let's move into the nature of sin. The nature of sin. Scripture teaches that sin is an impersonal, and here's the good news, sin is a temporal. It is a impersonal and temporal evil force which is confined to fallen angels. Now, we know that from this point on, angels do not have free will. You either have elect angels or you have fallen angels, those who chose to follow Lucifer, the bright morning star, all right, the deceiver, or to stay faithful to God the Father, but is confined to fallen angels and earthly humans, and Scripture teaches that very clearly. The good news is, though, that it's temporal. There will be a time when sin is completely eradicated, and that's the good news with that. The principle of sin, as we move forward, and we're going to define some things before we move into some applications of this topic. Sin is an evil force or a principle that impels man to sin. That impels man to sin. Sin is a force. It is an evil principle seeking to use any, and here it is, any willing instrument, any willing person to manifest itself in. Sin is constantly looking to manifest itself through a willing instrument. Now you may say, well, hey, mankind is born into sin, and it's their nature, they are dead in their sins, there's really not a willingness that is there, but we know that when Adam sinned, and he represented all mankind, mankind as a whole became a willing instrument through Adam to have sin manifest itself in us. We see this in the Garden of Eden, how it's constantly looking for a willing instrument. We see it in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had no sin. They were created perfect. They were created very good. Yet Satan, the author of sin, was actively looking for instruments to express his sin principle. In fact, listen to the words of Paul here that I think make it very clear as to the nature of sin and how sin uses us as an instrument to manifest itself. He says in Romans chapter 7, "It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." Now that's pretty straightforward, and we're going to unpack this more so that we might understand the nature and the strategy of the sin principle in our lives. Yes, sin has a strategy. It is not dormant, and we'll talk about that in a moment. You see, without an instrument of expression, sin could not manifest itself with its evil works. It's almost like a musician. You know, Mark was talking about that earlier. It's almost like a musician who must have an instrument to play in order to produce its music. As believers, but here's the good news, as believers, we are no longer a slave to sin. We're not bound to sin. And by the power of God, we can choose not to participate in its expression because we have been released from that prison. We can choose to be instruments of sin, or we can choose to be instruments of righteousness according to the dominating principle that is in our lives. Dominating principle meaning we either choose God or we choose the sin principle or the sin force or sin itself. Every time we wake up, every date we go on, every day we wake up or work we go or person we talk to or any experience that we have as believers a choice to what principle will dominate us. The righteousness of God or our appetites and the principles of sin. And which one we will surrender to. I surrender all. There can really be two objects to that. You can either surrender all to God, or you can surrender all to sin. That's the good news in that believers can be an instrument either way. Now, this brings us to a point of application and understanding, I hope, in our lives. Sin is seeking an instrument. It is seeking an instrument through your appetites, by the way, through your desires. Very rarely, if I can put it in terms of food, sin is not going to appear as, give me a food you don't like. Talk to me. What's something you can't... Broccoli. What else? Asparagus. Cauliflower. I mean, these are things, man, that weren't even intended to eat, folks, all right? Sin doesn't show up and say, "Hi, my name is Pain. Come with me." No. Sin studies you. Sin knows you. Sin is a student of you. When Amy and I were dating, when we were younger, and we didn't have a lot of money, strike that, when I didn't want to spend a lot of money, we would go to, where are you babes? There you are. We would go to the mall, right? And do you remember where we'd get to eat? It was giant, Mrs. Fields' giant chocolate chip cookies. And then we would sit down in the mall and we would people watch. How many here have ever people watched in your life? It is the most glorious pastime on the planet. No. And we would say, "Why can't they be normal like us?" And then you get a little older and you realize, well, there's really no such thing as normal. And then you get older and you go, "Man, I am a mess." All right? But sin studies you. It watches you. I want to tell you something. Sin knows you better than you know you. And that's a lot of yous in that, all right? Sin is seeking an instrument in which it may express its nature through sinful action, sinful thoughts, and will and emotions. We'll move forward on that. So if you hear anything tonight, based on what we just talked about, watching people in the mall, sin studying you, if you hear one thing tonight, know this. Sin is dynamic. It is not static. Sin is dynamic, it is not static. If you remember anything, remember that. Oh, how we make this mistake. Since sin is looking for an instrument to express its nature, Paul talked about, it's not I, but the sin that dwells within me. Sin is dynamic, it is not static. Let me say this in another way. Sin is active, it is not passive. Sin is stalking you, it's not waiting for you. Sin is alive, it is not dead. Sin is vigorous in its pursuit. In fact, the Bible even describes Satan, who is the father of lies, the author of death, the originator of sin, is going to and fro, seeking like a what? A lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's not static. It's dynamic. Sin is vigorous. We don't sin because we happen to stumble over it. Well, we may stumble over it, but it's going to be something you like. It's going to be something you desire. It's going to be something that speaks to your appetite, which by that definition alone makes it dynamic. All right? We're not going to stumble over and pick it up and go, oh, look at this. I never really thought about this. I think I'll consume this. We sin because it wears us down. We sin because it tempts us. It preys upon us. It studies us. It knows us. It seeks us to be an instrument, because without an instrument, the living sin principle cannot manifest itself, whether it be through creation in general or within mankind. In fact, look at the example of Adam and Eve. I'm going to go there a lot. Adam and Eve did not wake up on Thursday morning. I don't know what morning is. I'm just throwing it out there, all right? They didn't wake up on that morning and look at each other and say, you know what, today, let's deny and destroy our perfect unity with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's just disobey God today. This paradise thing is getting old. They didn't wake up and say, hey, let's disobey God. Sin sought them out. Sin needed an instrument. Sin studied Eve and studied Adam. And sin moved in, and the only place it could be successful, on that tree, telling her, there's more to have. God has withheld something from you, and I can give you more. By the way, sin will always echo that. I will give you more than God. Always. Because any other message is not a temptation. Sin's not going to walk up and say, hey, enjoy your life. I can make it more miserable today. No, thank you. Sin knows what it's after. So here's an important note. It's important to understand this. Sin is not only unlike God in its character. We always say, you know, sin is the opposite of God's character. It's more than that. Sin is not only unlike God in its character, but it opposes God in His direction. Sin will not only say, you know what, I disagree with God, but it wants you to come away from His holy, righteous standard. Sin not only opposes God, it will seek to convince you that you should do the opposite of what God wants, the opposite of what is right. If you are torn, and here's just a little bit of an application, if you are torn over what you know, if you are torn over what you know versus what you want to feel is right, the lion of sin that roams to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, is upon your back, and his claws are sinking in, and it's going to feel like butter. He's there. And it's only a matter of time before sin destroys. And that is an important thing to remember. Grab this. Sin never leads to life. Sin will never lead to a better relationship. Sin will never lead to contentment. Oh, addiction is an amazing high, but it's never content. It needs more, it needs more often, and it needs a greater quantity of that. Sin never leads to life. Sin never leads to improved circumstances. Never. And that's an absolute word. Never. Sin always produces death, deterioration, destruction, and damage. Introduce sin into any area of your life, and that area will plummet. It will go down. Your relationship, your walk, your life, you name it, fill in the blank, it will go down. Sure, there is pleasure for a season. How many, can I get a witness, will say, sin is pleasurable for a moment. Amen? And then you get done, you go, what did I do? What did I do? In fact, Hebrews 11:25 says to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But never will you entertain sin and improve your life long term. Never. So hear this, teens. Hear this, young couples. Hear this, married couples. Hear this, old couples. Hear this, people in this room. Even the Thompsons from Ireland. Who are trying to do those music. Do you guys do motions when you sing at your church in Ireland? A little bit? All right. I'm looking forward to see that. No amount, remember what we're talking about. Sin will never improve your life. No amount of rationalization or denial or redefining or I'm different or this is different will change that fact. Because the goal of sin, which by the way, is seeking an instrument to manifest itself in, a relationship to manifest itself in, a person to manifest itself in, circumstances to manifest itself in, the purpose is to seek an instrument and to convince you not only that which is contrary to God, but that which is away from God. Your life, your marriage, your family, yourself, your walk, your relationships, your everything will never ever improve away from the one who created you. Amen, church? It won't go. It won't go that way. And by the way, sin loves to look like something that is good, something that is godly, something that is needed, and here's a huge one, something that is healthy. This is healthy for me. Sin loves to look good, godly, needed, and healthy. In fact, look what Satan presented to Eve. And what Eve saw when she, if this pen is evil, what Eve saw when she had the fruit in her hand. Now, Eve was told not to eat of the tree. Okay, we know that. And then Eve even went further than what God said and said, and he said that I am not even to touch it. Now, that's not recorded within the Word of God, but between God saying don't eat it and Eve saying I'm not supposed to even touch it, that's a very clear prohibition of what Eve should and should not do. It's very clear. Why? Because God knows the nature of sin. He is not the author of sin. He's not the creator of sin. But we know that God is omniscient, right? And that means God is all what, class? He's all knowing. He's got a pretty good concept of the attractive nature of the sin principle that is seeking an instrument. And God said, don't eat of this tree. Now remember, sin is not static, it's not passive, it's dynamic, it's active. You cannot pick up sin and not stain your hands. You can't. You cannot pick up sin and not stain your hands. And that's the minimal damage of sin, the minimal damage. When you play with something and then say, you know what, I shouldn't do that. There's going to be some stains. Look at what God said to Eve's first child when it comes to the nature of sin, which we believe to be Cain. Look at what God himself described as the nature of sin in Genesis 4, verse 7. He says this, sin is crouching at your door. It's dynamic. It's active. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires you. It's studying you. It wants you. It knows you. It's intimate with you. And it wants to, look at that, it wants to what, class? Have you. Because sin needs an instrument to manifest itself. It wants to have you. And then it says, but you must master it. Cain, you must understand this. You must recognize this. You must own this. Do you see how the sin force is seeking to use your personhood as an instrument to oppose God? Which, by the way, is supposed to be an instrument to manifest the glory and the nature of God as being created in the image of God? He wants to take that which is supposed to reflect the image of God and oppose God. Eve was told not to eat of it. Sin is crouching at your door. Sin loves to look like something good, something godly, something healthy, something needed. Now look at what Eve saw when she held sin in her hand. Look at the redefining. Look at the rationalization. Look at what went on in her brain. Check this out. It says in Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food. Can you see the rationalization happening there? Thou shalt not eat of this, for the day you eat of this, you shall surely die. But you know what? This looks like it could be good for food. How often do we hold sin in our hand and go, there's some beneficial qualities to this. This is something I could use. Yeah, God has forbidden it. I shouldn't do it, but you know what? There's some good, give me a word. Benefits, thank you. One person listening. That's great. That's encouraging. Some good benefits to this. She saw that it was good for food. And pleasing to the eye. Remember, it wasn't asparagus. It's not celery. It's not cauliflower. It's pleasing to the eye. Now watch sin look spiritual. How many of you here have ever thought in your life that sin looked like it might bring you closer to God? Look at this. Watch sin look good. Watch sin look healthy. Watch sin look spiritual. And also, an also desirable for gaining wisdom. What could be wrong with gaining wisdom? God is wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, that not only is this good and it will nourish me, but I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. And isn't that what God wants? God wants me to grow. He's been teaching me in the garden for a long time. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and with Adam, and he's been just having communion with us. Oh, how great would it be to have a deeper, more intimate wisdom and knowledge of my Creator? And all of a sudden, sin looked appealing. Sin looked good for food, for nourishment, and it looked like it could provide something spiritually beneficial, wisdom. In essence, sin, which we know is a dynamic force, sin said to Eve, I'm not dangerous. I'm attractive. You deserve me. You need me. I will give you wisdom. I will give you what you lack. And she and Adam, she deceived and Adam sinned, ate of that which God forbid. Next thing you know, Adam and Eve aren't getting along. They're fighting. She wants her husband's position and he wants to dominate over her. All of a sudden, they don't get along. Next thing you know, they're being cast out of the garden, and there's a cherubim with a flaming sword blocking their way from the presence of God. Cain is going to kill his brother in a little bit. Abraham's going to know Hagar, and on and on and on. From father to son, from father to son, through seminal headship, that sin principle is passed on, and the world continues to die, absent from the presence of God, because something looked healthy, and something looked pleasurable. By the way, I want to make sure I get this here. Sin said to Eve and Adam, I will give you what you lack. Here's the question. What did they lack, class? Talk to me. Nothing. How often do we walk through life having everything at our disposal by God's sovereign providence, giving us every good and perfect gift? Providing not only for the sparrows, but for every hair that falls off our head. He knows our name. He knows who we are. And He takes care of us. They lack nothing. They walked with God in perfection in paradise. And sin got them both. When is doing the opposite of what God said wise? And she saw that it was good for wisdom. When is doing the opposite of God ever wise? Sin is so deceptive and it is so active. And by the way, child of God, you lack nothing. You lack nothing that God has not provided and deemed through His sovereignty what you need and what you are to have. Now, I love God's response here to Adam and Eve. And He knew that sin overtook them. He said this, who told you you lacked something? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you you needed more? Who told you that you lacked anything? Seek Him, seek God, and you will find newness of life. Yield to sin principle, and you will find destruction to life. So let me say this truth statement. Very rarely do you have absolute statements, but here's an absolute statement. Sin always produces death. Sin always produces death, destruction, deterioration in every area of our lives, both spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally. So, with that understanding, what I want to do is we're going to close tonight as we move into this introduction of hamartiology, the study of sin. We're going to close with words that God chooses to describe the sin force who wants you as an instrument. All right? And these are some of the words that God uses to describe sin. Number one, and it's very powerful, it's the word sin. All right? Hamartia from the New Testament Greek. To miss the mark or goal. To replace or miss the standard which God has fixed. Sometimes we don't just miss it, we redefine it and replace it. All right? To miss the mark or the goal, we know that one. The next one is iniquity. It's from the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, awan. It means acting crookedly. To act crookedly. Sin is an action which is not straight. All right, it is not straight, it is not right. It's not A to B, it's all over the place, it's deceptive, it's crooked. Sin, to bring a picture to that word crookedness, sin must be rationalized. Sin must be redefined. Sin must be reworded so that we can accept it. It is crooked. It is not straight. Number three, transgression. From the Greek, it means rebellion. Sin is placing your will over God's will. It's saying, I know what is right, but I'm torn with what I want. All right, sin is rebellion. It's replacing your will over God's will. And finally, here's one more, and there's more, but we're going to close with this one, trespass. And it means deviation. I have deviated. I have trespassed. There's a line, private property. Do not cross. Do not trespass. And it is a deviation. It's a moving into where you don't belong as a child of God. Sin is a deviation from truth to lies. And that comes into that rationalization and redefining that dynamic sin force. If we know the full definition of sin, we might recognize it more quickly. We recognize it quicker. There's a word. We'll recognize it quicker. If you find yourself going, you know what, it's really not all that bad. Or you find yourself rationalizing. You find yourself redefining. If you find yourself replacing a standard. If you find yourself having to rationalize and move around things rather than go straight. If you find yourself placing your will over God's will, bells ought to ring, and we understand that this dynamic force is seeking us as an instrument. Now, I want to note one thing. The actual sin consists of the decision to do wrong and the acting upon it. It's the decision to do wrong and the acting upon it. Giving yourself as an instrument. This can be found in emotionally, physically, mentally engaging in that which is contrary to God's will for your life. All right? Sin is not found in the mere temptation, but in the entertaining and receiving of it. One of the verses that come to mind is Matthew 5:27, where it says, if a man looks at a woman lustfully in his heart, he has already committed what class? Adultery. Because this is just as important, if not more so, than this. The heart. We talked about that this morning. This is just as important as this. Now, consequences may be different, but it is just as important. Now, I often tell guys, listen, there's nothing sinful. If I can drive this illustration, I'll be shallow with it and then move on. There's nothing sinful with recognizing an attractive woman. There's nothing sinful with saying that's an attractive man. What's sinful is when you choose to entertain or act on an emotional, physical, or mental place. Sin originates in the heart and in the actions when we entertain, participate, and embrace it. So the next time we get together, we're going to look at such things under the topic of hamartiology. We're going to look at why did God allow sin? Why did God allow sin? Did God create the ability for sin to exist? And did God include sin in His plans? Or are they an addendum to His plans? So with that being said, let's close in a word of prayer and recognize the sin force who's looking for an instrument. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, we confess daily that we are in desperate need of Your assistance. For without the power of Your Holy Spirit, sin is our tomorrow. It is our now. Father, may we submit ourselves to You and to Your Word, and may our paths be straight. May they be straight. And I pray this in Your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. I love you guys. Have a great week.